I'd like to begin with, who recalls the name of the Filipino president's wife that had lots and lots of shoes? Anybody remember her name? I should be on this side, shouldn't I? Marcos. If you had not seen Imaldo, Mrs. Marcos, thank you. Mrs. Marcos was said to have had over 3,000 pairs of shoes. Now, for some of you, are like, I don't count 3,000 there. You don't see 6,000 divided by 2? Okay, you really don't. This is part of them. Would you imagine 30 years ago, 1986, this is part of her shoes? Well, from what I found in 2002, yes, we did have color back in 1986, but it's the picture I found, okay? This was part of them. The saddest part for some of you ladies, some of you guys would be relieved. 850 pairs of her shoes actually got ruined in some of the floods in the Philippines. But shoes, and I know we're thinking, didn't we have something on shoes recently? We did. It all started with Mr. Michael Rowe, and I appreciate his doing that several weeks ago, talking about feet. Well, then Coach Barton on Friday, how appropriate. And what I'm going to do is segue. I'm going to build on what Coach Barton did, okay? He held up a sandal, for those of you that don't remember from Friday, that are just, you know, you're unconscious from the weekend, understand that. But he held up how he was able to witness to 6 Army soldiers because of wearing, it was a sandal he held up. Well, let me start with, here's a cleat, and I'm helping those of you further to the back. Like, man, it's got some grass stains. Looks like somebody plays football or baseball. It's also called mowing in southern West Virginia, and you wear cleats to hold on the hillside so you don't fall off. Thank you. You guys are awake today. These look like the shoes that belongs to the missus of the house. And actually, I can say, or it could be a teenager who's growing every day and her feet are larger. Can you tell what these are? Ballerina shoes. Wow, I see some initials back here. Look at that. Initials. DJH. Who has initials DJH? I don't know. So, when it comes to shoes, see, some of you really are awake. If you don't get it, it's okay. You're better off. You don't. It's all right. It's all good. Seriously, as I prepared for today, the Lord really stirred in my heart. 30 years ago when I was sitting, okay, maybe not in these seats, but when I was sitting where you're sitting in chapel, when I was a student, what was the greatest need of my heart? And I want to tell you, the Lord has put me through the ringer in preparation for this message today. So, I bring to you, especially those of you that can't see in the back, it's a brick. Just a red brick. I have 6 of them. I'll hold them up so everybody can see. 6 bricks, okay? Say, what do bricks and shoes have to do with chapel? Well, I am so glad you came to chapel to find out. So, let's look beyond Mrs. Marcos, whatever her first name was, Mrs. Marcos' shoes. I'd like to begin by turning to Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. I realize this is a familiar passage, and I'll even admit I resisted when I knew the Holy Spirit was drawing me there. I'm like, everybody knows this passage. This is like one of those Acts 1:8 or Matthew 28, 19, 20. You're like, oh man, not again. But I want to share with you what the Lord has done in my heart, and I trust will impact you. Matthew 9, 35 to 38. I know why you have a chance to get there. There's something else I wanted to do with these bricks. I wanted to use this opportunity to say, when I was a student, and my focus was, I want to build spiritually. I want to build emotionally, mentally, relationally, socially. Don't worry, I'm not giving a test. I wanted to build into my life, building on the foundation of the Word of God. Now, some of you I've been with, you're like, you know what? Good enough. Those of you that are OCD and would say, you know what? I have to pull out. I want to know I'm plumb. I want to be level. For those of you non-OCD, they're straight, okay? So with that, I know I have your attention now. Matthew 9, 35 through 38. And Jesus went about all the cities and all villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray you therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. So I'd like to begin while Jesus is traveling. Notice what he does, verse 35. And when Jesus went about all the cities and villages, he went about, he's traveling. We do that. Obviously, we know he walked, possibly rode a donkey. But as he is moving about, he went about, he consistently reached out to people. How do we know that? We're going to see here in just a moment. Notice how he's consciously impacting all the cities and villages. He didn't ignore some. He didn't go here and go there. I don't know if you've ever thought of this, but the passage from Mark 1, 36 through 38, and Simon and they that were with him followed after Jesus. And when they found him, they said unto him, said unto Jesus, all men seek for thee. And Jesus said unto them, let us go into the next towns that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. In that context, there were many people in Capernaum that had trusted the Lord. He was healing all these people. And we see in the next morning, and that's verse 35, he's praying. And when Peter came to him, he's like, all men are looking for you, Lord. This could be the great Capernaum revival, the great Capernaum awakening. We could talk about this for decades. Okay, Peter didn't say that. But honestly, all these people trusted Jesus. And what did he do? It's time to go to the next town. How did he know? He came to minister to all the cities and villages. So simply, it's an application for all of us. We all have moments of activity. We are at Walmart. We are at a doctor's office. Thank you for that testimony, Dr. Penner. Wherever we're at. But how are we using those moments to reach people for the Lord Jesus? While traveling, and it's assumed. We all do that. I know we're not doctors today, but are you making your rounds like a doctor, impacting, touching people, trying to see all the patients? Second thought I'd like to share. Actually, it was an intro. So, Jesus built bricks. Now, I know some of you are awake enough. It's a Monday. You're thinking, I don't ever remember Jesus being a bricklayer. He was a carpenter. But follow my illustration. Jesus was busy. We're going to see in just a second. Jesus was busy building into people's lives. And I'm using the phrase, I'm using the illustration, he was laying bricks. I'd like to challenge you with a thought. When I was a student at ABC, I started a thought and I didn't finish. What was my greatest need that I had when I was 20-something? I was busy in my life laying on the foundation. No other man can lay any foundation that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. I was busy getting equipped for the ministry the Lord had for me, even as a student and continuing today. I was busy doing this. There are some of you today, I'm concerned, that could be so focused on this that you're going to miss the second part of the message. Now, honestly, some of you are like, dude, I got it. I got the compassion part. I already know about that. Who cares about bricks? I socialize. I Facebook for 3 hours a day. I tweet for 3 hours a day. Whatever it is. It isn't just building their bricks. Building into people's lives, as we're going to see. But I want to start with that thought. Jesus built bricks. Notice this in the phrases that I'm using. Notice the first action we see him doing here. He is teaching in their synagogues. Now, we all know, without my elaborating a lot on the teaching aspect, but it's interesting, this can mean to cause others to learn. Teaching is just not dispensing. And we believe this as a whole, speak for all faculty. It's not just give me the facts, sit down, shut up, I'm going to fill you for 55 minutes, even though I have 50 minutes, now we're down to 49 or 48. It isn't just giving out the knowledge, it's equipping you. It's building bricks into your life, teaching you to build, to add, to know. We know there are moments when Jesus used parables to hide meaning of what he was telling his audience, because he would explain the meaning and the significance later to the disciples. So as he taught them what I'm calling an established place, this is where he went. He went where the people were, and he taught them. He caused them to know truth of his Father. Notice the second thing that he did, still in verse 35. As he's going, I'm going to add it that way, he's traveling, a word I'm using. He's teaching, he's causing them to know. Secondly, he is preaching the gospel of the kingdom. You would know probably before you even came to ABC as a student, to preach is to herald. It is to exclaim, as I'm using exclaim priority. He preached the gospel of the kingdom. He was able to herald to those that would listen, his Father had sent him to redeem mankind. We know that. You know that before you even were a student. But notice how important it is as Jesus built these bricks. He's teaching, he's preaching, and then we're going to see this third word that we have, our third verb, as we have it in English, and healing every sickness in every disease among the people. As I'm capturing it in two words, he expressed his passion. He touched people. He healed them. It's interesting, the word healing presently and actively cured, healed, restored to health. I didn't know until preparation for this message. I always wondered, why does it have sickness and why does it have disease? In its root meaning, the sickness can be a moral sickness beyond a physical malady. Moral sickness. And then every disease seems to focus on the infirmity, the debilitating, the bodily weakness. So you see now why I chose the words, Jesus is building bricks. He is building into people's lives, meeting their needs. And again, I'm not talking about his carpenter shop. He used that to be supportive, to be obedient, to have a trade. But ultimately, he is building into people's lives just as we are to do. Teaching, preaching, healing. Let's notice our next section. Jesus built bricks, as I'm saying it. Jesus beheld the people. While he's doing this, and you all get the sense of these English words, teaching, preaching, healing, you can hear the continual tense, the ing, the participle. He's doing it over and over. But notice, wow, this hit me, and it is a pun intended, like a brick. Verse 38, but, and a good English technique, anytime we see but, why is it there? Why the contrast? Why the stoppage? But, when Jesus saw, can you tell even in English the difference here? He's continuing, he's traveling, he's meeting needs, he's building bricks as I'm calling it. But he comes to this moment in time, he saw the multitudes. He saw with his physical eyes, and we're going to see what that does as a result of how he is impacted. He saw them. It can have the idea that he turned his eyes. It could be he had turned his attention. He discerned, we know by the context, he saw with his physical eyes, and notice what he does. Jesus sobbed. He was moved with compassion. Now, I know again, as Appalachian Bible College students, you have heard this term about bowels of compassion. I can remember when I was a student, and I'm like, This is weird. We say we love somebody with all of our heart, or Cupid shoots a heart. Cupid doesn't shoot a large intestine or a small intestine, right? But you pretty quickly got the idea of the Hebrews, more accurate than we Greeks, the New Testament versus the Old Testament. You feel in your bowels, in your stomach, butterflies. We don't say, I have butterflies in my heart. It's like, dude, we got to get you to the emergency room. If you got butterflies in your heart, there's a different problem here. But we feel in our seat of emotion, we're nervous, our stomach's in a knot, as we say. We feel he was moved with compassion. When he looked at the people, he sobbed. Why did he sob? We're going to see in just a second. Why was he moved with this bowels of compassion? A deep-seated, felt to his core, in his inner being, he's moved with compassion. Because Matthew tells us, obviously with inspiration of the Holy Spirit, for this reason, two reasons actually, because they were delirious, they fainted. So what were they fainting for? Food? They needed the Spirit of God, and he saw them in their delirious state. He was moved with compassion. Wow, that means I got to stand still. Okay. They were scattered abroad. They were directionless. So not only were they delirious, they fainted. They were directionless. Then notice, verse 36, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because for the reasons they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd, the idea of the directionless. Then notice what he does. Our third area, Jesus said, still looking at Jesus beheld people. Jesus said, and obviously as he's talking to his disciples, he points out two things. He says, look, there is an imbalance. Notice, the harvest truly is plenteous. It's vast, it's wide, it's broad, it's plenteous. But the laborers are few. Do you ever feel like, what can I do? I'm just a student in Appalachian Bible College. There is a world of need. People are dying and going to hell today. Even during this message, 40-some people die and go to eternity without Christ from what statistics we see. Even during this time, the harvest is plenteous. There's plenty to do. The laborers are few. And notice what else he asks. He says there's an imbalance. He says, then he implores, as I'm saying, implore, pray ye therefore, as a result of this, pray ye therefore to the overseer, to the Lord of the harvest, that he'll do what? For the purpose to thrust out laborers, to send laborers into his harvest field. There's work to be done. So what did Ken Lilly struggle with 30 years ago? I was busy building bricks. I was busy saying, I need this tool, I need this tool, I need this lesson. I need sermon preparation and teaching preparation, even as I did ministry just as you. But what I needed was being moved with compassion. I like to share this story that the Lord used in my life to impact me. In the 1980s, Coach Barton could have said this Friday, in the 1980s, when Dr. Anderson became president, 1983, I came by January 1985 by going through Scroon Lake, New York, where I would have been here fall of 83. The Lord had that journey for me, no regrets. But even in his very beginning, he focused on servanthood, and time wouldn't allow for me to talk about the impact servants in persecution impacted me as a student beyond words to even this day in the 80s. But when Dr. Anderson even challenged us then, how do you reach your students? I was determined that I was going to teach my middle school, as we would say now, back then junior high. I was going to teach my junior high students about being a servant. So one day, I did not bring the basin of water and a towel. I didn't do that. but I took a shoe brush and I was determined I was going to get down and polish their shoes. And actually, literally, I am on my knees. Every student, I'm going to brush across the shoes. But this is what the Lord used in my life. When I got down to brush some of these shoes, some of my bus kids had shoes way too big. And they were embarrassed. They were trying to hide their shoes behind their legs. I saw holes in shoes. I saw paper stuffed in the end of shoes. Because clearly their sibling had to give them their hand-me-downs or hand-me-overs. They were too big. God moved in my heart to say, it's not about building bricks. What are you doing to build into people's lives? To this day, I still struggle. I want to build bricks. I want to check the list. I want to check the box. I want to do this. Some of you, as I share with you this morning, some of you are wired similarly to me. It's all about the grades. I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. I got to do that. And we ignore the people. Now, I know that's not all of you. I'm not pointing fingers today. I just know I sat where you sat. Some, again, you can do this easily. Oh, yeah, I got the people skills. I'm with people. I'm with people. I'm with people. Get some foundation. Build some bricks, people. When you get out there and all you have is love, guess what? You have nothing to share with them. Say, but love conquers all. Well, it does. But as I want to use as an illustration, in fact, I'll just capture it in my So What bridge. Two thoughts here. The first one, are you focused on constructing on the Word of God? And I really didn't hashtag this. I know that's long. But construction without compassion is calloused. How do I know? Been there, done that, got that t-shirt. I know what that's like. Leave me alone. Let me get my list done. And some of you, again, some of you need that focus. Others of you need the second one. Are you focused on the compassion to see others' needs? Because here's why I share. Ask the hashtag, as you can see, to ask the Lord to break your heart. When I saw those students with the needs they had, it's a phrase, and it's been around so long, I can't even find a source for it. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. Yes, you need to love them, but please hear me. Give them some substance. So where's the balance at? I'm admitting in my journey, I still, Jesus is our example. He did it. He was with people building the bricks, but, hear the contrast. He saw. How do you see people? Appropriately. Get your homework done appropriately. But there are moments you have to get off campus. You have to be with people. You have to see them where they're at, or you'll be in the greenhouse. You say, oh, this is wonderful. It's great. Yes. But one day when you do leave, can you handle dealing with people? Moved with compassion because he spent time. He saw them where they were at. I'd like to ask you to stand with me. As we close in prayer today, I don't know your heart. The Lord knows your heart. Are you focused on building bricks? Or are you focused on appropriately balancing both of these, building and having compassion? The construction and the compassion go together.